We're all still pinching ourselves here at the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast, wondering if all of the shocks and surprises of the bi-district round really happened. South Lake Carroll got home field advantage and sent two-time defending state champ Cedar Hill packing, the game sealed with a bad snap. Fellow champion Innis was dumped in the first round too, and Euless Trinity, a team everyone expected to challenge Allen in 6A Division 1 Region 1, went home early after a gutsy performance by South Grand Prairie. Matt, Avi, Greg, and Corbett talk about all the big games from the opening round. Plus, we preview a great slate of games this week, including Mansfield and Flower Mound Marcus, and another Allen DeSoto matchup. We've got all that, plus an interview with SGP coach Brent Whitson, all coming up on the podcast. Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast. We're starting this off with four-man crew, Avi Zalen. Hey, Avi.
So disappointed, Corbett.
Well, just a second. We'll get to you. Matt Wixon, hi.
Hello.
Hey, Greg Riddle. Hi, what's up?
Hello.
Oh, no. We got to get Greg's mic up. What's up, Greg?
How's that?
Oh, no. We got to get Greg mic up. How's that?
That ain't better.
Yeah, that's better. All right, Avi. There was an invite to the holiday party.
Why would you have a holiday party like before any of the holidays?
It's availability.
Because people are out of the, out and about during the holidays.
God.
It was free food.
That
was lots
good
of food.
I went to Chewy's for the first time last night.
That's pretty good.
It was pretty good, but not free.
No, it wasn't free.
Oh, man.
Free food, and they had prizes. Matt Wixon. Winner, chicken dinner.
It was very exciting.
Hey, kids, I hope you didn't see me, and I'm going to wrap this right now.
Right.
Have your iPad mini.
Right.
Matt was the big winner on the night.
Wow.
Very much like a lot of teams around the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Good segue. Great segue.
Son of a gun.
Man, I've never seen a list of results that surprised me more. Like, they just kept on coming in on Friday night. You had two state champions go down. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. We've got Coach Brett Whitson from SGP. His team pulls off a big win over Euless Trinity, a team that I think everybody had penciled in as the maybe the 1A, 1B against Allen there in Region 1. And just a lot of just weird results like that all coming in the first round of the playoffs. And it certainly bodes well for the 2015 playoff season. Matt.
Yes.
You were at that game.
Well, I was at the Carroll
Cedar Hill game. Cedar Hill game. Let's talk about that. Carroll jumps out to a lead. Cedar Hill comes roaring back, and they make a big stop there in fourth down. And you're thinking, here they go. They had a interception in the end zone on fourth down with about a minute to go. It looked like that the player was pulled out of the end zone. He kind of caught it in the end zone and then rolled out to the one. The officials spot the ball at the one. Well, that's tough for Cedar Hill, but
they had,
it was
54 seconds and they had no timeouts.
It would have been a very difficult task to get it, but Cedar Hill's had that magic before.
Yep.
If that call would have been different, Cedar Hill would have had a chance. What happened in the very next play was the ball is snapped. It looks like it kind of surprises Avery Davis, and it kind of clips him on the shoulder, goes over his head out of the end zone, safety, and that is the ball game. South Lake Carroll defends its home turf, and I know that there's going to be a lot of discussion about that UIL pilot rule where the top seed gets to play at home, but 37-33 is the win. Matt, what were your thoughts on that game?
Well, first of all, that was a very anticlimactic finish because you're thinking, okay, now it's set up. Cedar Hill's back's against the wall, 1 yard line, and then it was like, oh, it's over. The big thing in that game that surprised me was – I don't know what surprised me was how different it was in the second half. I mean, because Carroll, they had five drives in the first half. Their first five drives of the game were all touchdowns. So they get up 35-21. And, just their last drive was there was a minute left in the half, and they just kind of kneeled it. And so basically Cedar Hill was having a tough time stopping them. I mean, Lil Jordan Humphrey and Shamar Coleman and Zach Farrar, that trio.
That's a legit trio.
Oh, man, it is tough to stop them. So, but then in the second half, very rarely are you going to beat Cedar Hill, and you don't score any offensive points in the second half because it was 35-21 at half, and then they got that safety on the snap over the end zone, 37. And I thought when Carroll came out and scored a touchdown on their opening drive in the second half, and it made
Cedar Hill did, yeah.
Sorry, yeah, Cedar Hill, and made it 35-27. oh, the extra point. But then they stopped Carroll, and they hadn't been able to stop Carroll at all. I thought, oh, now it's flipping. It's flipping, and it really did. But Carroll had enough at the end, and I know I'm kind of rambling here, but the last thing I want to point out is I think the big – because it was the lead in my column too. Carroll got no points off of it, but that last drive they had 7 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, and they whittled it down.
And they took it down to a minute, and they converted a couple of fourth downs, and little Jordan Humphrey – I mean, Cedar Hill knew what was coming pretty much. You know, it'd be like a third and four or a fourth and two. They give it to him, and he is just a powerful dude who is tough to stop.
That is in the 6A Division II Region 1 bracket. Some results from there. We'll just try to glob everything together so we can keep up with it. Denton Guyer was down 13 with 14 minutes to go. And they end up rushing for 262 after that point. After Hebron scores to go up by 13, they rush for 262 more yards in a 41-26 win. They will get Southlake Carroll next round. We'll talk about that in part three. Arlington Lamar, probably the craziest finish you'll ever see in a high school football game. Abilene kicks a field goal, like a 35-yard field goal, to go up 33-32. And then on the ensuing kickoff, Lamar houses it. 93-yard.
Right.
Return there to
and how much time was left?
There was 3 seconds left after that score. 16 this seconds is, left in the game.
Why kick it deep?
Draven Cantley, yeah. Returner.
Why kick it deep? That's my question.
Well, it
was it's not they didn't have time to set up a field goal, even if you punt pooched it in the
right,
know, or it was going to be hard to.
Yeah, I mean, you just do that low kind of dribbler right down the middle of the field,
right,
like you see sometimes. Yeah, it's a good question. Nevertheless, Lamar lives to move on. They'll face El Paso Eastwood. Bottom part of that bracket, you're setting up for your what is the best game this week, I think, and that's Flower Mound Marcus 57-14 over Keller Fossil Ridge in a walk there.
Mm-hmm.
Mansfield wins easily against Colleyville Heritage, 45-22, and those teams will face off against each other. And Arlington went on the road against San Angelo Central and got beat, 45-28. San Angelo Central will face El Paso Americas there in the top part of the Division II Region 1 bracket. Going into Division 1, another shock result. South Grand Prairie. Big win.
Yeah.
Big win over Allen. I mean,
jumping ahead.
Over Euless
Trinity.
You just
want it to happen, don't you?
Over Euless Trinity.
Down 14-0.
Down 14-0 quick. It was touchdowns by DeJohn Garrett and Jayron Wilson, and you're thinking, oh, this is that Trinity team that
right,
everybody's expecting to challenge Allen. And yet, South Grand Prairie battles back. It's a 32-yard field goal to win it.
Yes.
Jose Cruz, senior kicker.
Great picture.
Yeah, great picture in the morning news by our contributor Brandon Wade. But, they actually, I don't know what happened in that game. I think there was did Trinity try an onside kick?
Well, they had been kicking short throughout
the
game.
Because it was a short field that they had to work on.
Right.
It was a really long expected Trinity drive. They're going to do the patented Trinity drive. They've got to get a touchdown to tie the game, and they do just that. Jayron Wilson scores on a one-yard run. 13-play drive. It takes six and a half minutes for them to get there, and there's just not that much time left. And I think they either tried an onside or kicked it short. SGP got the ball, took it down the field. I think it was a 40-yard drive. Greg Eisworth, their senior quarterback, who's going to Ole Miss as a safety prospect, completes a pass. It was 3rd and 15. He completes a 16-yard pass to keep that drive alive.
Huge.
There you go. I don't think we will talk to Coach Brett Whitson here in part two. I don't think a lot of us expected this result, but it's not a shocker because Euless Trinity, and there's something about SGP and Trinity that match up really well. It was a close game last year. They're both physical teams that really do a lot of the same stuff. They can run the ball very effectively, and they play great defense.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a close game. I didn't pick South Grand Prairie to win, but it went to OT last year, when Trinity roared back and beat
right,
South Grand Prairie. But the big thing is South Grand Prairie coming out of their district and still being healthy, which is pretty big coming out of that district because it's so tough. But they can, not many teams can play or just match up physically with Trinity up front. And they just get pushed around, and the second half comes, and you get wiped out. And I think South Grand Prairie is a one of those rare teams that could match up physically up front with Trinity, and that's what happened.
Any of those teams coming out of 8-6A, which is arguably the toughest district in the area as far as 6A districts, were probably going to give Trinity a really good challenge. Whether it was Cedar Hill, Cedar Hill couldn't because they were down in the Division II. Mansfield couldn't, but certainly would have challenged Trinity. DeSoto would have been able to challenge Trinity. I mean, those teams are all high-quality, high-caliber teams. There was destined to be good matchups here in round one, and that's exactly what your Carroll, Cedar Hill, and SGP Trinity afforded us.
SGP just played Cedar Hill close late in the season, too, so yeah, shouldn't be a surprise.
Well, and the other side of that bracket, Denton Ryan improved to 11-0 with a convincing win, 56-33 over Plano East. Top part of the bracket, Odessa Permian rolled Arlington Bowie 49-12. They'll face Amarillo Tascosa. On the bottom part of that bracket, Arlington Martin, hide your kids and, hide your valuables, 76-18 over Midland.
82.
What?
Wasn't it 82?
No, they scored 76. I think it was 76-18. It's the result in our paper.
All right.
it was convincing. Let's go with that.
Yeah. So. That they will face Amarillo, who beat El Paso Montwood. You've got Allen with an easy win over Trophy Club Byron Nelson. They get into the playoffs, and then they have to face the juggernaut of Allen, 50-14. And they'll face DeSoto, a DeSoto team that held on against Coppell, 35-31. Good win there for Todd Peterman and his kids. And despite all the turmoil that season has afforded them, they're in the exact same spot as they were last year. They've got a shot at Allen in the second round. Let's talk about 5A. 5A, Region 2 in Division 1, Wiley and Wakeland. That was kind of a shock result there.
It was surprising to
Wiley me. Wiley just punched him in the mouth, and then Wakeland scored a couple late to make it close, but 31-21. Wiley advances to play Rockwell Heath, who beats Carrollton Creekview. Mansfield Summit, it was 6-0 against Kimball there on Thursday night, and I was thinking, oh, man, this is going to be a crazy result here. Now that Summit ends up rolling in the second half, 35-7. They'll face Longview, who beat Lufkin. That was a 10-0 game at half, but Longview wins 31-10. Wiley East and the Colony, I caught a little bit of that on Friday, and, man.
That never would end.
It seemed like it, 71-48. Great matchup between two really outstanding running backs. And Khalil Banks for the Colony, who I think scored four touchdowns, two rushing, two receiving. And then Eno Benjamin, the junior from Wiley East, who scored seven touchdowns and 260 yards rushing. Every time he looked up, he was running in the end zone. And they did all sorts of stuff. They put him at Wildcat. They put him in the backfield with Braden Shoemaker, their quarterback. And that offense looked really, really impressive.
It's a tough weekend for the Frisco District.
They took their lumps, which I think for a lot of people wouldn't necessarily say they're shocked about it because there is a lot of parity within the district, but they don't necessarily get a chance to challenge themselves outside of district.
Mm-hmm. And they also, that is a tough first week matchup.
No
Those
doubt.
Two districts are good.
Yeah. Mesquite Poteet beats Carrollton Newman Smith 40-0. That'll be an interesting game we'll talk about in part three. Mansfield Lakeridge, no problems with Samuel, 63-12. And Tyler beats Texas High. Should be a really salty matchup there. We'll talk about that again in part three. In the top part of that region, or that division, in region one, a couple of results of note. Aledo beat Fort Worth Trimble Tech, and according to the Star-Telegram stats, Fort Worth Trimble Tech had -2 yards in the game.
It's not surprising.
No, but Aledo 76-0. They'll face Denton, who hung on against Grapevine. Congratulations to Kevin Atkinson and that
crew. That was a heck
crew.
Of a game on Saturday.
It was.
The nightcap
It was the nightcap. Grapevine had a shot at a game-winning field goal, and it went awry.
There was a point in that game when I think it was it 12-0 or maybe 12-3 when Grapevine had about 14 first downs to 2 for Denton. And I was looking down because I was following it online, and I was like, oh, they're turning the ball over, which is a big deal. When your defense can force some turnovers, you can put you in good shape.
Burleson Centennial beats Arlington Heights in overtime, 30-29. That was on a missed extra point.
in the first part of overtime for Arlington Heights, and Burleson Centennial goes and scores and kicks a field goal to win it. They'll face Boswell, who beat Birdville 36-33. In Division II, Region 2, a lot of really interesting games. Lone Star looked really good against Prosper. That's the Frisco team that really did shine, 24-10. They'll face Forney, who scored 77 against Bryan Adams, 77-44. That could be a shootout right there.
Very interesting.
Luke Skipper went crazy there for Forney. I was at the Sauk Timberview game on Thursday night. That was a Giovanni Garcia 34-yard field goal with 6 seconds left. And shock of shocks, Sauk chopped their feet to kick the field goal. This is a 34.
Set it up.
They just had two short runs to stay on the right hash. And then they're like, oh, send the field goal team out there. And I was like, oh, Lord of mercy. I guess they were fine with playing for overtime. And then, Garcia booms a kick. It was a really nice kick. It did go just over the left upright, but, it had a lot of distance. So, obviously, they had faith in him. That's a good win for Sauk. They're back into the second round again. They'll face Marshall in a rematch. Marshall beat Lindale 21-17.
I thought your tweet was pretty funny.
A lot of people thought that tweet was pretty funny. Lovejoy and Frisco. That Frisco came out flat, and Lovejoy just kind of ran past them. Defense dominant, and
the thing that impressed me is their defense, because you have to be pretty physical against Frisco. I mean, they got a really good offensive line,
right.
And they've got Idris Ali, their really good running back, but they really couldn't get much going. Lovejoy's defense, we always figure, Bowman sells. They're going to score. They're going to throw it around, but they're not they're not just like a finessey type thing.
Well, their head coach now, Ryan Cox, is a defensive coach. He was their defensive coordinator when they promoted him. So maybe they've kind of changed things, how they allocate their talent up there at Lovejoy. Maybe he's kicked a few guys over on defense that were on offense under Matt Green.
They did a great job.
They'll face Terrell, the Terrell team that looks tough.
49-13
over Woodrow, and Terrell is 10-1 on the year. Their lone loss to Kaufman, which is no shame in that. Kaufman is still rolling in 4A. We'll talk about that in a second. Lancaster, they get to avoid Sauk in the first round of the playoffs, get Seagoville and 50-3. I think they are now looking like one of perhaps the favorites in that region because, shock of shocks, the other state champion goes down, Ennis.
Yep.
Falls on a short field goal. It was like a 30-something yard field goal. Hallsville beats them 24-23. Just a weird season for Ennis. Just, all over the board, with that coin flip loss, and, they didn't necessarily have some results that they didn't blow out teams. They had close
some big
games
win.
Against Lindale.
Some big wins. Yeah.
They're kind of like
nice...
the Cowboys. They've lost a lot of close games. They're in every game.
Right.
They just can't get over the hump and win like they did last year. Last year they were so key or the clutch at key moments.
Yeah.
This year just hasn't happened for them.
So Lancaster, instead of having to play defending state champ Ennis, they'll get to face Hallsville next week.
The Halls.
Yeah, at Tyler Rose Stadium, which is
yes,
a really nice place
they're referred to as the Halls, right?
Yes.
Fighting Mentholyptus.
They are the Corridors.
The what?
The Corridors. Hallsville. A hall.
Oh, gotcha.
Also a corridor.
Ah, very nice.
We have to make one of these jokes every week.
Oh, Lordy. Okay. In the 4A, Division 2. Region one, none of our teams really. Stephenville was 3-9 or something, or 3-6, and they end up beating Decatur, which is kind of a shock result there, 49-28. But everybody else out in West Texas in the Panhandle. Region two, though, has plenty of teams like Kennedale and Carter. Mm. That game was 25-23 at halftime.
That was really surprising.
And I was like, whoa, this is another Thursday night result. I'm thinking, man, this is just good. It's a crazy week.
I think, I was talking to our stringer about that, and I think Quadres. I think he was having a little health troubles, but they recovered nicely.
Yeah, he actually wasn't one of their leading rushers. I think JT Watley. And Dalen Wells
the
were their
way
two
their
leading
system
rushers
runs,
there.
They had two guys combined for 8 touchdowns, and it wasn't.
Those were those two guys, yeah. They rushed both over 100 yards.
They have a little bit of depth
scores.
At running back.
They do, and they run the ball exclusively. They turned it on the second half and win, I would say pretty easily, 65-26. I heard rumors on the Twitter machine that they're changing Carter's name. They're no longer the Carter Cowboys. I don't know if that's true or not, but let's leave it up to Twitter.
Are they just going to use their playoff name, Red Storm?
Oh.
I don't know.
I don't know what that is, but
Well, that's what they always have on their playoff jerseys, Red Storm.
I did not know that. Well, cool.
Maybe Carol can change to the blonde something for
Blonde Bombers.
Oh my God.
Athens beats Princeton. Blah.
Mm-hmm.
59-36. Argyle 70-7 over Lake Worth. The Bullfrogs get to hopped.
Not a good day for Jeremiah. No.
Man, that game was ugly early. I think it was 49-0, and I'm like, oh, they must have had a running clock or something like that. And it was the second quarter, and I was like, uh-oh. It looks like Todd Rogers and his crew have got it revved back up again. Pittsburgh and Crandall. Pittsburgh the winner there, 35-24. Brad Baca has some experience in the Metroplex. I think he was an assistant at Pilot Point. Or maybe he played at Pilot Point.
Hmm.
But it's a really interesting thing for the Pittsburgh coach. He's the head coach, but his brother is the quarterback.
Whoa.
And his dad is his defensive coordinator.
Wow, that's
so you don't find that very often. Yeah. So they'll get to face Argyle in what is a tough second round
so
matchup.
So if the quarterback goes, shut up.
Shut up, man. I don't want to go to my room.
Brother. Yeah.
God, if we get Argyle and Kennedale, that would be fun.
There's no doubt. Argyle Kennedale would be a rematch of last year's playoffs. A fantastic game.
Mm, anything before this year, I don't know.
And on the other side of the bracket, you could get something like Texarkana Liberty Isle and Kauffman squaring off. Liberty Isle beats Van 48-41, although Van scores 20 unanswered to make it close. Sanger wins 55-36. Sanger has never won two playoff games in their entire history.
Wow.
And they got Defensive Player of the Week this week.
And they've played over 100 years of football. I think they started playing football in 1912, and they've never won two playoff games in the same year.
I do like their color scheme.
All right. Is purple and gold?
Yeah.
That's okay. Cool.
Kauffman with a nice win over Paris, 37-21, and they'll face Alvarado, who beat Wilmer Hutchins, 33-12. Other scores in the smaller classifications, you had Salina continue to roll on 63-0 against Venus. They might be the best team in 4A from our area, and we're kind of overlooked them because there's such good competition in Division One.
That game was actually closer than the score. I think it was more like 58-0.
It's tough to play an entire planet.
They'll face Monahans. Monahans out there in West Texas.
At least Mars has ground to stand on.
Oh, Lordy.
Venus is just a
Avi's just got jokes. It is a ball of gas, but it's a corrosive ball of gas. If you got in there, it's like...
Right. It can really mess up your plays.
Yeah, it would. Yeah.
Not as much as playing a van. It's hard to tackle.
Okay.
Okay, stop, Avi, please. In 3A Division One, you had Pottsboro winning 49-0 over Commerce. They'll face Sunnyvale. Sunnyvale picks up their first win in school history, first playoff win in school history, with a 35-7 win over Van Alstine. And... that's really it. My boys, Scurry Rosser, they got beat by Callisburg 29-14. And you did have Whitesboro winning, and I did a story on Whitesboro a couple of years ago. The head coach there has really done a great job turning things around. Taps playoffs, I think everyone who picked this game got it wrong. Fort Worth Nolan and Argyle Liberty Christian. It was a 21-0 win just like a month ago. Argyle Liberty Christian shuts them out, and then in the playoffs, Fort Worth Nolan wins 45-31, they advance on.
Did a helicopter drop a few new players onto the field or something?
I don't know, but secretary Paula, actually, her son is a JV player at Fort Worth Nolan, and was going to be called up, and then he had a concussion, and so he didn't get called up to the varsity. But he has another week,
right?
Because Fort Worth Nolan lives to see another day.
Hey, for Nolan, that's got to speak to how to make some adjustments and make your players progress during the year.
Well,
that was so different.
Joe Prudhomme is
he's
always a seasoned guy, and they've really not been up to snuff to what their standards were several years ago. You know, they've kind of middle of the pack in that district. So maybe this is kind of the catalyst to turn that around. Prestonwood over Beaumont Kelly. Avi, do you know anything about Beaumont Kelly?
Beaumont Kelly won 3 games this year, which in those little districts is good enough to get you into the playoffs.
That sure is. And then you get to meet Prestonwood and get a taste of 62-0.
Yeah, that was like 55-0 at halftime. So good for Prestonwood to show some humanity there and ease off the gas.
They got bored.
Yeah, no, while I was covering Beaumont Kelly, they went winless in 2 straight seasons.
That must have been a fun call.
I left and now they're in the playoffs.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Reverse Ivy Jinx. Congratulations to Deion Sanders.
AAA Academy.
He tweeted
wins
a morning.
State championship, I guess. It says a state final. Greg, can you tell me a little bit about this?
All I know is they beat A-plus Academy.
A-plus Academy, baby. 39-30.
In the lone playoff game up the bracket.
We know, you know, the last thing I had read about AAA Academy is that they had backed away from their IMG game. IMG was 8-0 and was going to come to Dallas a couple of weeks ago, and AAA was like, yeah, we're not playing that.
Nah, bro. A little bit of difference between
AAA Academy and IMG Academy.
They're both three letters.
That is it for part one. Part two. SGB coach Brett Whitson, and then part three, we'll talk about games of the week. In part two of the Sports Day HS Weekly Football Podcast, we have South Grand Prairie coach Brett Whitson. Coach, congratulations on what a lot of people around the state are saying is a shocker. We aren't necessarily that surprised, considering how close it was last year. But first of all, we offer our tremendous amount of congratulations for that win.
Well, thank you. You know, we're not shocked either. We think we're pretty good. But we also know what their reputation is and how strong they've been over time and how much courage they showed in coming back last year. But you know, I think when we look at our schedule, we're not shocked when we beat anybody.
Hey, Coach, Matt Wixon, and I was talking to you last night a little bit about this, and I think one of the interesting things we were talking about is that the model, the often talked about model for pulling a big upset is to get out early and then kind of hang on. And you got down 14-0, and you talked about what happened right after that. That was probably the key to the game, even though you guys didn't get any points. And how did the game turn at that point in your mind?
Well, first off, as I told you last night, that model for getting out early didn't work too good for us last year. So we didn't intentionally flip it, but they're up 14-0 at their place with the new UIL pilot program, which, by the way, I don't vote for. this is Joey, by the way, great friend of mine. I hate that he had to go to South Lake, but that was a great game. But that, back to your question, you know, they bloop kicked to us, and we did not handle it. They put the football inside of our 20. And score to make it 21-0, but get two holding calls on the same play. And I had no question in my mind that of all the great things that our kids did and great things that happened in that ballgame, our defense keeping them from scoring and keeping us, you know, in the first quarter at 14-0, that changed the whole complexion of the ballgame, changed our kids' attitude. From that point on, we were physically dominant, and you don't ever get to say that about playing Euless Trinity.
Boy, yeah, very rare. But you guys were certainly ready for this game, just as you were last year. I mean, I think are there six or seven of the teams that you played this year are still in the playoffs?
Six.
And of course, the other is Euless Trinity, who you guys knocked out.
And Cedar Hill.
And Cedar Hill, right.
Can't forget, you know, we still have people on our schedule that are playing in round two. And again, we do that on purpose. I mean, we really want our kids to have the mentality of showing up Saturday morning, being excited about the win, but who's next? And we do that all year long.
Did you concern yourself, though, with that tough closing schedule that you might be a little bit banged up going into the playoffs? I mean, it's hard to close against teams like that, especially when you're having to do that and then face a Euless Trinity team. It's not like you get a layup in the first round.
Right. Well, you know, we have no control over that, the way that our schedule falls, because that's the luck of the draw within however the UIL does our alignment. And, you know, we could talk about the UIL's alignment till the cows come home right now. We're not going to do that. You concern yourself with it because we played nothing but physical football teams. And then, again, like you're saying, and then you could walk into week 12 and by district and you get to see the Trojans. Sure we did. But we're remarkably healthy right now, knock on wood or, you know, my empty head. by conditioning, by a great strength program, and by the grace of God.
Hey, we talked earlier in the season about Greg Eisworth and what kind of player he is. What did he do there on Friday night? I mean, it looked like he, you know, had a great game rushing the ball. Did he play defensive back as well?
Played a little bit in the secondary. He's had a turf toe injury the last 3 weeks. The most carried he had in that stretch of games that you're talking about was four, and because we were intentionally keeping him available. didn't play him in the last three quarters against Mansfield because of that toe injury. But he got himself back well with our bye week and kept himself well. We just done lots of treatment and keeping him in a boot at school, even up through the Cedar Hill ball game. But he's what he does for us is our kids have nothing but absolute respect for Greg Eisworth, you know, in the way that he plays and the way he carries himself, the way that he leads. He's not a rah-rah guy. And Friday night, for the first time in his 3 years playing quarterback for us, at halftime he took the dressing room over and reminded them of, you know, what happened the previous year, and then went out and played like it.
When you play a team like that, and you guys had an understanding that there would be a good chance that you could face Trinity, it wasn't necessarily set in stone. You guys could have taken the top seed from DeSoto, but you had a good chance that you would play ULIS Trinity. Is that something that you guys talked about in the offseason, you know, looked ahead toward a potential Reed match?
You know, what's really funny is the kids wanted it really, really bad. I'm not stupid. I didn't. but only because the reason I didn't wasn't necessarily related to ULIS Trinity. But I figured they were going to come out as the one seed in theirs, and to want it meant that we'd be the two seed.
Right.
And I always want the best for our kids. And so that was the only consideration for us. Our kids talked about it a lot, and especially when it was fresh last year in December, January, and February, which are critical times. And it was nice to have that fuel, you know, to feed your off-season, your weight program, and to get kids to go do things to make themselves better that maybe they hadn't done at South Camp Prairie in the past.
So congratulations on the win. Now you get another unbeaten team in the second round of the playoffs. Denton Ryan, who's really had a remarkable turnaround in the second year of Dave Hennigan, he's really got those guys playing well. What have you seen on tape about Denton Ryan, and what are you looking for there this week?
Offensively and defensively, they remind us a lot of Cedar Hill, which is – bad news, good news, in that, you know, the bad news is that means they're really good, really fast, and really aggressive, and have a great tradition. You know, that's the thing that people forget about Denton Ryan maybe in their recent history. You go back to when Joey took over there, they went from 1-9 to state finals and then state championships
right.
pretty quick, and then kept it at that level all the way through Joey's run. And Dave had a hiccup, I think, last year, went 5-5, but they're big, they're strong, they're fast, they got a really good, it's hard to say this, but they got a seasoned sophomore quarterback in the Spencer kid,
mm-hmm.
Who started as a freshman, you know, in 6A football in North Texas. So they I think probably to go back to where I started, they really remind us of Cedar Hill in the way that they play and the schemes that they run. So that the good news is that we're just 2 weeks or, you know, a week and a half removed from having done that preparation, and that's helped us go back and look at that plan for you know, what we thought they would do to us and what we did to them.
Kind of surprised by Cedar Hill's result against South Lake Carroll, or is that just kind of a coin flip game?
You know, Hal and Joey are both Rams, and so I couldn't pull for either one other than I wanted 8-6A to sweep 7-6A, and I just think it's a tough deal when, you know, the way the pilot program works, South Lake could have come in third in their district and hosted a playoff game.
Right.
And that's the part I don't get. I don't think that's what the committee intended, but I'm always shocked when Cedar Hill gets beat. with the one possible qualifier except for Mansfield, because old Jeff has just kind of got Joey's number right now.
Boy, they sure played
Brooks
well,
got
yeah.
hand in that, but, you know, I just always, even when I got asked to tell me a halftime score, which I can't be concerned with, we're in the middle of playing, but I told somebody, I said, yeah, you better watch out because they're going to make a run at them. They're going to make a run, and they did.
Yep.
So with that pilot program, against it in principle, or do you think that maybe there is something to be awarded to the district champ? I've talked
That's
to a lot.
That's the way it started.
Yeah.
That's the way it started. You know, and I don't know that anybody was against that. Of course, everybody who had to travel this week is against it now.
Right.
But in principle, we need to reward district champions. I think that somebody took the next step. And I honestly, guys, I don't know how that process works. You know, I don't think the legislature got involved. I think it was just a committee that made a recommendation. Coach Association nodded their head, and the next thing you know, now it's the top seed.
Right.
And part of it has to do with available venues.
Well, I think they were trying
to fight to get into AT&T every year in the
right.
first and second round is incredible. And I think they were trying to kind of remove a little bit of that. hassle for coaches. Let them just go be football coaches and then reward people that had been successful during the year. The miss is that thing where it was Division I and Division II. You can come in third in your district and get to host a playoff game against somebody who, you know, came in second.
Right. Yep.
Well, Coach, we certainly appreciate it. We'll close with our three-question segment. Playing after Thanksgiving, how special is that? Is that something that you guys talk about as a coach? Is that a goal for you during
every
the
year.
Season?
Every year. You know, get to Thanksgiving, because we always tell them with eligibility, with injuries, hot teams, anything can happen when you get to that point. I've got cumulative between Oklahoma and Texas, 9 state championships on my staff, and we all talked about yesterday about how special it is to be a play-in to get a chance to ruin Grandma's Thanksgiving. That's always been a little joke on it. It's an every-year thing.
Which do you prefer, Friday Night Lights, the TV show, or Varsity Blues, the movie, or something else? Seems like coaches have decided.
I'm going
to
knock you guys
else.
Out of your chairs. I've never seen either one.
Wow.
Varsity Blues, my kids watched when I was a kid, or my sons did when they were teenagers. And I walked through the room one time, and they were watching it on HBO or something, and it was a potty mouth part of it. And I decided, I don't think I want to watch that. I was such a – I really liked the movie and loved the book, Buzz's book. On Friday Night Lights, that I just couldn't make myself. I'm a Connie Britton fan. Now, don't get me wrong, but I had never seen it. But,
so the movie would be your preferable choice, probably. I know football related.
Friday
movies.
Night Lights. The movie's a pretty good movie, and took some liberties, you know, obviously with the real story. But gosh, it was if you've been around Mojo and been around Texas football, it's a pretty good picture.
Okay, final question. Thanksgiving related. What is your favorite Thanksgiving dessert?
Pecan pie with chocolate in it.
Ooh.
All right. Good choice, Coach.
Yeah. It's very decisive.
I like it. Yeah. Going for two. We're going for two there. Coach, SGB coach Brett Whitson, after his team's awesome win over Euless Trinity, really kind of shocked the state. Didn't shock us, but certainly in the in the headlines. Coach, congratulations.
Makes you, that makes you guys a very smart group of people.
Coach, congratulations and good luck this week.
Thank you.
Part three.
Woo.
It was good games last week. There are good games this week as well. Matt, you're writing about that, right?
I am. I'm writing something. I don't know when this podcast comes out. But
this podcast comes out Monday.
Oh, right. Well, then it'll be before my column. Yeah, I'm writing about
it. We're doing it live.
Kind of like five things that, I mean, I really think that was one of the wildest first rounds we've had several years.
Yeah.
And I think the way it sets up, potentially the second round could be even.
Potentially
could be just as exciting or more exciting.
Yeah, well, let's start. Just go top down from the brackets.
All right.
Ryan and SGP, what are your thoughts? SGP, obviously on a super big high. I mean,
I think this is one of those rare times when I'm gonna pick the team that's 7-4 to beat the 11-0 team, and that's no disrespect of Denton Ryan. Maybe they take it that way, but I think Ryan's a very good team. But I think South Grand Prairie, with the way they are playing right now, obviously they just beat Trinity, which was undefeated, and the way they had to, you know, be prepared each week during the regular season, they just played an incredible schedule.
Yeah, who's their non-district loss? Was that to Martin?
They played Skyline, didn't they?
Yeah, it was to Skyline.
Yeah, they did lose to Skyline.
So they lost to Skyline, beat Martin, and then lost their three district games to Mansfield, to DeSoto, and to Cedar Hill.
Right.
There's no shame in that.
Right.
And I think that all four of those teams are probably better than anybody that Ryan has faced all year.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah. Although the win over Guyer kind of legitimized Ryan in my mind. And
I think it's going to be a great game.
You know, to hear Coach Whitson say that it reminds him of a Cedar Hill team, that speaks volumes to what Dave Hennigan has done there.
Right.
But that should be a really interesting game. You got to get out of work early, people. It's at 5:30 at AT&T Stadium, so you beg off.
Or make high school football your work, which is what I get to do.
So true. Or get on Sports Day HS and just watch the live stream and then follow Matt Wixon on Twitter and then just follow those tweets.
Yeah.
And then it's all good, right? You're covering that game, right?
I'll be there.
Cool.
Did you get the nachos?
I'll get
Arlington
something.
Martin gets to beat up on another West Texas team before moving
back
to the Metroplex.
Well.
You get an Amarillo High, 9-2 Amarillo High. So maybe it's a little bit closer game than the
I anticipate
debacle.
A big Martin win, though. Yeah,
it's probably a 2 or 3 score win at least. Allen and DeSoto. In any other year, we would be just like, man, Allen DeSoto, Allen DeSoto. Right. Allen people are convinced that I think that that I'm going to pick DeSoto in this game.
No. Well, you know, it is funny. In any other year, too, you'd be like, why is this game at 9? I'm doing air quotes.
Right.
It'll be about 9:30. But still, I think this is one of the reasons I'm going to write about that this is potentially could be a crazy week.
Sure.
Because the thing is, no, I'm not picking against Allen.
No.
I think Allen's going to win this game by several touchdowns. But you're talking about, this is essentially now a rivalry game because of what's happened in recent years.
This is their fourth straight year?
Fourth straight year.
Yeah.
And DeSoto, in previous years, basically had Allen on the ropes. I don't think they're going to have Allen on the ropes this year. But DeSoto still, I mean, we're still talking about the team that we in the preseason, wrongly, picked number one based on what we thought they had. They still have a big-time quarterback, Tristan Wallace, who I'm still waiting for some of the things that I saw from him last year.
Right.
He hasn't had a terrible year, but I thought he was just fantastic at the end of last year, and he was, you know, he was crazy good.
I went out to DeSoto to working on that shoe story that ran last week, and I talked to Coach Peterman there, and I was like, you know, what's the difference between last year and this year? And he's like, offensively, our numbers are pretty much the same. We're just not breaking those big plays. We're just not getting those scoring plays, but you know their yards per attempt were comparable. Their penalties and turnovers were down. They just played a really tough schedule, and I think people have lost sight of exactly what those five losses are. Those five losses are some. Those are no joke.
I mean, I was going to say coming back to that.
When you lose to IMG and Cibolo Steel,
Martin.
When you lose to Martin, lose to
Cedar Hill
and Mansfield,
and who did they beat? South Grand Prairie, who just beat Euless Trinity, who we thought was the only team possibly that would rival Allen in this district, or would be the best team to rival.
It could be a close game.
There's no Kyler Murray this year either.
There is no Kyler Murray. That's true. And Kyler Murray saved their bacon, a couple of times in the playoffs.
I'm interested enough certainly to hang around after my game and watch.
It'll certainly be a good one. It'll be a late one though.
Just to show you, like there's these rivalry games where it doesn't really matter that much about anything previous. Like going into the season, people still just get really excited for it. Like, and I know this is like a stupid barometer, but we just tweeted out Friday night, you know, Allen versus DeSoto, time and place, with a fire emoji. Sorry, 480 retweets, which we don't ever get that many. You know, very rarely.
People are excited.
There's a lot of interest.
There's a ton of interest.
Yeah. Okay, in Region 2, Skyland and Rowlett, a fascinating matchup. I'll be at that game on Saturday at 2 at Mesquite Memorial. Look forward to eating the food that Steve Bragg and company will provide. It's probably going to be Mexican food, and I think that's delicious. both are 9-2, Rowlett.
That was a crazy first round game for them.
Really,
I didn't see that.
Oh, my God.
65-64.
Combined
1,300 yards of offense. Whee!
Logan Bonner with a big game. Kobe Moore with a big game. Ladarius Dickens with a big game. Everybody offensively with a big game.
You did, too.
For Rowlett. Skyline, you know, this is a Skyline team that we expected to win in round one, and they did. This is a little bit of a challenge right here.
Yep.
On the other side of that bracket, North Mesquite, they advance. We didn't talk about North Mesquite in part one, but congratulations to Mike Robinson and his kids.
That's a good, solid win.
That is a nice, solid win, absolutely. And they face Colleen Shoemaker, who held Sachse to 7 points.
That was another one. I was like, what?
Right. This is a Sachse team that has been scoring 50 points with regularity, and it's 10-7 was the final there. So, it's a Saturday afternoon game at AT&T. I might be done with my game and kick it over there and try to watch the nightcap there at AT&T, although probably not because I'm moving.
Congratulations.
West Lake and the Woodlands at the bottom part of that bracket is certainly something that I think people should keep an eye out for. It should be a really good one there. In Division 2, you get Guyer and Carroll, a game that in any other year would be a huge marquee matchup. These teams have 5 losses between them. I think Carroll probably is the favorite to make the regional final in that.
Yeah.
And then they'll face what I would assume would be the winner of Marcus and Mansfield. But this Guyer team has really kind of been a head scratcher. You had a returning quarterback in Sean Robinson and a lot of expectations. They just haven't blown out people like we've kind of expected them to.
Can they play like they did in the fourth quarter?
Right.
Last week
they were down, and they were down against Hebron.
Yeah, that's
by 13.
And then the fourth quarter, they just got it going.
On the top part of that bracket, you have San Angelo Central and Apostle Americas. Probably Central in that game. They're 9-1 and beat Odessa Permian in the season finale.
Mm-hmm.
El Paso, Eastwood, and Arlington Lamar and Odessa's Ratcliffe Stadium or Ratliff Stadium. That's on Friday night. And Lamar gets to extend its season, and you know, I think that they're probably going to be the favorite against a team out of El Paso. Marcus and Mansfield.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's a salty matchup.
Yeah, that's probably the one of the better games we have.
And because of how awesome this game is, it's at Birdville Fine Arts Athletic Complex.
It will be a fine art. It will be a piece of art.
I saw some people talking about like the
disappointed that it didn't get to AT&T.
Yeah,
or Allen or someplace. Right, yeah. Someplace that a little bit more showcased. But it's a good central location.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you're talking about a Marcus offense that can run the ball. They've got Caden Smith. They've got a little bit of versatility there, and a Mansfield team who's been just phenomenal defensively, and has Kennedy Brooks.
I know. Whoa. And, you know, Marcus won it was that week two.
Yeah, it's a rematch too.
It's a rematch, but Mansfield actually didn't kind of have things going at that point. Didn't Mansfield start 1-2?
Yeah, they lost to Summit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, Mansfield is a very different team now than they are in week two. Although Marcus is too. I mean, they keep getting better. Now we're into the second round, and we're still talking about, man, I wish these teams weren't playing, because I feel like you know, both of them could be a regional finalist
this
or region
is
winner.
Going to be the topic of my column this week, and that is rematches. You have three playoff teams that are playoff games that are rematches of existing games this season. You have Wiley East and Poteet played a really interesting matchup in week two. You had Marcus and Mansfield, and then you had a game that just played 2 weeks ago in Grapevine Faith Christian and Parish Episcopal, which was a shootout win for Parish Episcopal. They play again in the second round of the TAPS playoffs. So you've not only got the rematches from last year's playoffs, like your Allens, DeSoto's, but you've got some rematches that are even more fresh. That is in 6A Division II Region 1. In Region 2, Jesuit Rockwall, a rematch of a rematch. This is a third straight year that they faced each other.
I think this one, not as many people are talking about and should be, just because it feels like a movable force, or unstoppable force, a movable object with Jesuit's defense and Rockwall's offense.
Did you guys see what Caleb Broach did last week?
He had eight
what
touchdowns.
What didn't he do?
300 yards rushing.
Yeah, 300 yards rushing, eight touchdowns in that
game. No Will Reed for Rockwall in that game.
In that game, but according to Rodney Webb, he is back this week.
Well, that's big.
He'll be back
he's
and ready to go. Although he did say Matt Jones is junior, backup who will probably be the starter, has Jedi blood.
Jedi blood.
Yeah, I love
well,
it.
That is scary. If
what
you can use
mean?
Like Jedi mind tricks.
I don't know,
and
but it sounds really cool.
You can throw him off sides with the
right. Every one of these games in this region is a phenomenal game. That game's on Friday night. Another Friday night game is the winner of that game will face Pflugerville-Hendrickson.
Pflugerville.
And Spring, a very good team. Their lone losses, I think that's lost to Spring to Caney, where they got in a punching match and they had the refs call the game.
Mm-hmm.
Highland Park and Waco Midway, a rematch of last year's playoffs.
Right.
Highland Park is at 10-1. Randy Allen is, talk about a Jedi. That dude wins ball games. Faces Terry Gamble, former Allen assistant, at AT&T Stadium, 2 p.m. on Saturday. Lake Travis and Spring Westfield to the bottom of that bracket. Travis unbeaten, Westfield two losses. But, man, that's a good game, too, and that's at 2 p.m. Saturday
that's
in
really
Brenham.
That's
a really good
ball
good yeah,
game.
That's a really good ball game.
That's a weird region, like, when you talk about geography.
It takes the top part of Houston, takes the Austin area schools. But
all
that,
over.
That group of second round games
is pretty awesome.
Is really good. 5A, Division 1, Region 1. You've got Denton getting to face Aledo. Good luck, guys. Yeah.
It was a good
Xavier
run.
Scott has had a great season.
Yep.
He'll have to have a
they'll get more than -2 total offensive.
No doubt. And they'll have to have a phenomenal game to stay with the punching power of Aledo. The winner of that game gets El Paso, Del Valle, and Abilene Cooper, which is in Midland. Region 2, Wiley and Rockwall Heath. Man, these teams are the exact same team.
I think
they're teams that you're like, God, they're going to be pretty good, and then they start a little slow, and you're right. Like, I don't know how good they are.
They
and
are
then,
similar in that they boom. Take those paths a lot.
Yeah, and then they're in the playoffs. They're in the second round of the playoffs.
And the way they win games by just grinding out their opponents, too.
Now, this was a rematch of last year's second round, too, where Heath won big in that game. I think it was 44-6 or
Heath had a little
like
more punch last year.
They did.
But Wiley is just always the same to me, or whatever. It's like they'll maybe kind of scuffle around a little early in the year, although they play some good teams, and then they just get on a great trajectory when they get to the playoffs.
We talked a little bit about Wiley East and Poteet. That is a rematch of this year's game, and it's also a rematch of the 2012 game between these two teams. East has never been out of the first round besides that year, 2012, and this year. They got bounced from the playoffs by Poteet during that run.
If they win and Lakeridge win, what do you think the score is going to be between Lakeridge and Wiley East?
Oh, I don't know. But that's
70 to 60.
They need to add a third game. place value for the scoreboards.
The winner of Wiley-Rockwall Heath will play Mansfield Summit and Longview. That's a tough ball game for Summit.
Yeah.
You know, Longview is looking good. It's at Friday at DeSoto. Should be good East Texas action coming to the Metroplex.
I thought their game against Lufkin would be closer. They beat them 31-10.
Yeah, but it was 10-10 at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Longview stretched it out in the second half. And then Mansfield Lakeridge and Tyler John Tyler, probably statewide, one of the matchups that people are going to look at and point to, because you've got two teams that, you know, Tyler John Tyler made the state semifinals last year, Mansfield Lakeridge. 11-0 and looks just like a world beater right now. That is at Forney at 2 on Saturday. Division 2, Lake Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, big win over Brewer in the first round of the playoffs. They get an 8-3 Burleson team. That thing is just wide open to take that. Mm-hmm. With Alito on the other side, you know, you've got the winner of Fort Worth Ryder and Everman will probably be favored to make the regional final, although Canyon is at 9-2 and they could certainly do it. Lubbock Cooper is at 9-1 and they face Eastlake, and that's the winner of Lake Dallas and Burleson will face Cooper or Eastlake. It'll be a really interesting matchup there, but that region is wide open. Region 2, equally wide open, but not because of a lack of good teams. You've got Lone Star and Forney Friday at Plano's Clark Stadium.
That has the potential to be a shootout.
It sure does. You got Luke Skipper.
Two extremely athletic quarterbacks.
Yeah, Luke Skipper and Jason Shelley. Jason Shelley really had some real great highlight plays. Rhiannon Walker will probably have some of his highlights there.
We have him on a blog post, on a post up there. And the interesting thing is that just statistically speaking throughout the year, Jason Shelley and Forney Luke Skipper have gone back and forth in terms of who has the most total yardage out of both passing and rushing. And so that'll be really entertaining to watch.
Sauk and Marshall, rematch of last year's playoffs. Sauk at 8-3. I think people are kind of looking past them. They did not play particularly well against Timberview in that win. They struggled moving the ball, but they'll get a shot against Marshall, who is 10-1. Lovejoy and Terrell at the bottom part of that bracket. That's a Saturday game, a night game on Saturday night, one of the few. They're in Allen, and Lancaster and Hallsville close out the 5A brackets. Real quickly in 4A, Division 1, Kennedale and Athens, a good matchup. Argyle and Pittsburgh, we've talked about in Part 1. Texarkana, Liberty, ILO, and Sanger, both teams are 10-1. And Kaufman and Alvarado. Alvarado, remember a couple of years ago, I think that was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, they made the run to the state final. Got beat by Chapel Hill final. I think that's who it was. That's at the Gopher Warrior Bowl in Grand Prairie.
That's a great
Friday.
Great facility.
I love it. It's one of my favorite stadiums.
I imagine Gopher Warriors in their little armor with their swords trying to storm Athens.
Division 2, Region 1. I have a complaint here. It's not about Sweetwater playing Aubrey and Granbury, although that's going to be a tough matchup for Aubrey because Sweetwater is 11-0. It's not about Jacksboro's being the site for the Iowa Park Crum game. It's not about Abilene Shotwell Stadium,
Boomer,
which is hosting Salina and Monahan.
Boomer!
What the hell is going on here in this game between Anna and Perryton? Perryton, I know, is way up in the top corner of the panhandle, but they're playing in, I don't even know how do you say it, Cash, Oklahoma.
Cash money, baby. Got to get them gamblings
on. Friday night. Come on, man. Play in Childress or Chillicothe. I tweeted, play in a vacant field in Chillicothe. Like, you pull the cars around to make the edge and
Just play the game somewhere
in Texas.
I think
they might have wanted to flip for.
I looked at the Cash
the
Oklahoma.
Coin exploded halfway through the flip, and that's what.
I looked at the Cash Oklahoma Public School site. They have a really nice new stadium, but I really think that you should play Texas high school football games in the state of Texas as opposed to Oklahoma. But that's because I have a pretty significant dislike of the
state. Well, now teams going to like New Mexico to play.
Sure, when you have El Paso,
we have Louisiana too.
When you have El Paso and I played cover the playoff game in the Louisiana when they played at. Wherever the Independence Bowl is, right. Shreveport.
Liberty
Bowl?
Yeah, it might be the Liberty Bowl. I don't know. It's a big old dumpy stadium in a dumpy part of Shreveport. I did get some gambling, which
friends,
was the only good thing.
Making friends.
Yeah, we know.
Shreveport. Southeastern Louis? No, that's Hammond.
No, it was a Rockwall played Longview.
No, yeah. I was trying to think of who usually plays
in
Shreveport.
I can't remember. I just remember there's a game there. Mm.
Pottsboro gets White Oak, 11-0 Pottsboro, and Sunnyvale gets Dangerfield. Oh, it's a really interesting, Dangerfield.
They're good every year.
Good every year, but only 5-6 this year.
Yeah. Sunnyvale receiver had 22 catches last
Eric
week.
Eric Sardinia, the coach for Dangerfield, the former offensive coordinator at Rowlett. I think he's the OC at Rowlett before he went to Dangerfield to get his first head coaching job. Taps playoffs real quick. Bishop Dunn. 10-0. They get a bye week last week. They face Tomball Concordia Christian. Prestonwood has to go on the road to face San Antonio Central Catholic. That is at 1 p.m. Saturday in San Antonio. Fort Worth Nolan has to play Houston St. Thomas. It's a tough matchup there. In Region 2, Fort Worth Christian. They get to go down to Waco to face Austin Regents. Grapevine Faith Christian and Parish Episcopal is a matchup I'm looking forward to. Both teams 10-1. Houston Lutheran South faces Dallas Christian in Palestine.
Boom.
There you go. Division 3, Colleyville Covenant, First Baptist. First Baptist trying to get back to the state final. They were there a couple of years ago. And TC Cedar Hill defending state champs. Fort Worth Lake Country. Time and place to be determined, at least according to most recent intel that I got from Greg Riddle.
Right.
Final thoughts, guys. Do you think that this is going to match up to be as good as last week? Matt, you're writing about it.
I'm writing about it. Again, I'm using that same word, potentially.
It's going to have to require a really good performance by DeSoto to kind of match what Allen's doing.
Yeah, I think, to get the impact of a Euless Trinity losing, it's probably going to have to be Allen
losing.
Watch
out, Allen.
Yeah. It might not, because I think that was one of the craziest first weeks I've, been a part of in recent years. But I also don't remember a lot of second rounds that have had this many kind of, if you want to call them, delicious second round matchups. There's a
delicious.
Lot of really good ones. Very good. So I'm looking forward to it.
I am too, and I'm looking forward to it because it's new teams. Like
some new faces.
Yeah, some new blood because, the Flower Mound Marcus game against Mansfield, I think that's going to be the best game of the week. And it's a team that didn't make the playoffs last year and a team that lost the first round. You've got Ryan and SGP, a matchup that I don't think a lot of people coming into the season thought that would exist in the second round of the playoffs with the implications that it does. Everybody is playing for a spot. After Thanksgiving, I know that Coach Whitson talked about it. It is a thing that coaches talk about, getting to go to on that holiday weekend and having to rearrange Thanksgiving.
Ruin Grandma's Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
that's right.
In order to get that game in.
Dear teams, stop playing at 9 p.m.
No.
Dear,
keep on playing at 9 p.m.
Sleep.
And make sure you stick with Sports Day HS for live scoring when they play at 9 p.m. because that's like what you should do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be on television.
No, it won't.
It's not going to be in print, but it will be on our website.
It'll be on our
and
website.
We're digital first operation here, my friends.
We're hoping for late deadlines.
And late deadlines. Maybe we can get it. Never in my – I always get first edition, so I won't get it.
The web's deadline is never.
Yes, or always.
Or always.
ASAP, 24/7.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You guys have a good week.